Today we continue in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're talking about godly living, and specifically having purpose in our suffering, purpose in God's sanctification of our lives, and what that looks like. Remember, the foundation for all of this is we focus on Christ. He suffered, and then we arm ourselves for that same purpose. The hard things that we go through in life have purpose. The suffering that we have has purpose. And we find that purpose in, in Christ. Our suffering is... brought to us so that we can then point others to Christ. And if we waste that opportunity, there's a problem, right? So as believers, we recognize we're going to go through hard times. And the reason that we go through those hard times is so that we can point other people to Christ. Now, most of the time, our first inclination is, I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go through this hard thing. Thank you. Lord, get me out of this hard thing. That's what we normally want, right? When I'm sick, what do I want? I don't want to be sick. When money is tight and finances are hard and the economy's in the tank, what do we want? I want to be prosperous, God. I want you to fix this problem. When we have illness, sickness, especially when it's long-term, when we deal with chronic pain, chronic suffering, it begins to wear on us. I don't know if you noticed that in Hebrews chapter 12, in our Sunday school this morning, we're fixing our eyes on Christ so that we can run this race and not grow weary, not grow faint, but we're continually pointing people to the author and finisher of our faith. So that's why we go through those things. That's why we go through any of these things. It's because that's who we are. And we're His to do as He pleases, and we want to point others to Christ. How do you endure? And that conversation is pretty real, right? Man, how you getting through all of this stuff? How do you do it? How do we answer that? Way too often I think we answer that question, well, you know, I'm just doing the best I can. It's been hard. Or whatever. Pull myself up by my bootstraps. And I fail to point people to Christ. But that's what I'm for. And so we find a purpose-filled suffering and a purpose-filled sanctification. I have been set apart for that purpose, so that whatever I'm going through, I can point folks to Christ. And today we're going to see the third part of this, and we're going to see that in verse 11. So 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 11 and 12 today. So turn in your Bibles there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Well, excuse me, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. God, I pray that you speak life into our hearts through this word.
Yeah, yeah.
Father, life into this church, into this body, but Father, life into our individual everyday lives. God, help us to grow in this grace and knowledge, to serve one another, even as Christ showed us how to serve. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've seen then purpose-filled suffering, purpose-filled sanctification, and now we're going to look at purpose-filled service. Purpose-filled service. So I'm going to endure things. I'm going to have to go through hard times. I'm going to realize that I'm set apart for that, and I'm set apart for God's purpose. I want to glorify Him. I want to be holy as He is holy. I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. And in the body of Christ, I want to look like Christ in service. What did Jesus come for but to seek and to save? He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And we serve one another in the body of Christ and in the community when we look at each other as more important than our own selves. If I am filled with selfish ambition and selfish thought, I will never be concerned with what your needs are. And so the first thing that has to die is my flesh, myself. I got to die to self in order to serve you effectively and efficiently. If I don't die to my own self, my own desires, I'm not going to care about yours. That's just the reality of it. And you might think, well, I can, you know, do this, that, and the other in the church, and it's all good. But what is it that's driving your service? Because your motive matters. If you do things in the church so that you'll be recognized by men, you have your reward. If you pray in the church to be heard by men, you have your reward. If you do things to have the applause of men, you have your reward. But we're being called to lay up treasure in heaven, to live differently. The motive of my heart, the reason that I serve, is not for my glorification, but so that I will glorify God, so that you will be served in everything. And we need to look at that. Peter says, whoever serves. So in the body of Christ, we have all of the gifts of the Spirit that are at work in the body of Christ, right? And he gives gifts. Look, in verse 10, as each one has received a special gift. What is your gift? What is it in the body of Christ that you have been gifted to do by the Holy Spirit? What role do you have in the church, in the body of Christ? Because Jesus, He came understanding His role. He was the Son of God. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to serve, not be served. He came not to judge the world, but that through Him, the world might be saved. Do you understand your role in the body of Christ and in that work, that the world not be judged, but saved? Do you understand that? What is your role in the body of Christ? What is the gift that you have been given? Now, we can do spiritual gift appraisals and surveys and all of these things that can kind of help maybe us understand what the Holy Spirit has for us. But the best way to know what the gift of the Holy Spirit is to simply listen to the Holy Spirit and obey. And a lot of times we have ideas about what we want. And Paul talks a lot about spiritual gifts and Ephesians and in 1 Corinthians, and we see some of the individual roles that are there and what their purpose is, and we'll see some of that here. But Peter says, look, I want you to understand, everybody in the church has a spiritual gift. He says, each one has received a special gift. As each one has received a special gift. It is not for the spiritual elite to have spiritual gifts. Each and every member of the body of Christ has the Spirit If you don't have the Spirit, you're not a member of the body of Christ. You might be a member of the church, but you're not a member of the body of Christ. Because when the Spirit comes, the Spirit brings gifts. And we see in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, it's a little bit different. Those come with the Spirit. Everybody has love that has the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of the living God in you, you love people. Because the Spirit loves people. And when the Spirit comes, the Spirit brings love. I didn't used to love people, now I love people. I have joy, a genuine joy that's not dependent upon my circumstances. When things get hard and times get tough, I still have the joy of the Lord as my strength.
That's right.
And I have peace. I'm no longer warring with God. And because I'm no longer at war with God, I have this calm assurance that overrides my whole existence. You see, that all comes because the Spirit's there. But when the Spirit comes, He also gifts. He gives each and every one a special gift. Now, Paul gets really detailed in those things sometimes. Peter, not so much. And I kind of like Peter's approach too. I like to study all those other ones, but I really like Peter's approach. First of all, he says in verse 11, before I get there, he says, you got to employ that gift. That means put it to work. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to go, Lord willing, to work at the university because that's where I am employed. Now, I can't go to the university and sit down for 8 hours a day and not do anything and not contribute anything and expect to get a paycheck. What can I expect to get?
Fire.
That's what they know. Everybody knows, right? Why do I think I can come to church and just sit like a bump on a log? Yeah, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, good. How are you employing the gift that the Spirit gives to you for the good of the body of Christ here? What? Well, okay, we have this need over here. I want you to participate in that need. Oh, no, preacher, that ain't me. You know what? That happens a whole lot. That happens a whole lot. I don't want to do anything. You need to just feed me. I don't want to serve anywhere. I want to be served. Is that not the exact opposite of what Jesus said He came to do? And so Peter says, for as the gifts have been given, you need to employ those. Put them to work. Now, he didn't get really detailed into what those gifts are, but he does break them down. The first one he says, whoever speaks. So there are speaking gifts. That would be the pastoral role as a pastor teacher. When we have elders within the church, that elder, the primary eldership is of a pastor teacher. And he must be able to teach. As part of his qualifications as an elder, he must be able to teach. He must be able to speak. And if I say that I have a pastoral ministry or I have a calling as in pastoral care, but I'm not going to speak, there's a little bit of a problem there. A little bit of a problem. We have to be willing to employ the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's not based on me, not based on my qualifications as a speaker. It's not based on my ability as a speaker. It is a supernatural empowering of the Holy Spirit that allows me to speak. And I got to tell you, that's not normal for people to be able to do that effectively in the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit. And yet we've kind of normalized a little bit. People just, you know, that's for somebody else to do. So there are speaking gifts. When you speak, you are to do so as those who are speaking the utterances of God. I'm not standing here to tell you what Greg Pate thinks or what Greg Pate understands. I want you to have the Word of God. In order for the preaching to have authority, it must be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it must be pointing people to Christ. It must be filled with His Word, not mine. I can stand here and say all kind of nice, frilly, pretty things and make you feel really good about yourself and have people fill up this room and watch the majority of them happily stroll straight to hell because I never lead them to the truth. They feel really good about it, do some really good self-help, but they're not hearing the Word of Christ. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And if Christ is not lifted up, there's no drawing of men. So today we will speak, we will lift up Christ. We will point to Him as the way, the truth, and the life, the only way for any of us to come to salvation. But there's also the element of the workings within the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you, and I have been encouraging you, first and foremost, fix your eyes on Christ, and then love one another. Because those who are speaking the words of Christ, the Word of God. And what did Jesus say? Love one another. By this, they will know you're my disciples, by the love that you have for one another. So, when we're speaking the Word of God, God is both the source and the subject of the speaking. And if I stand up here and I talk about politics, or I stand up here and I talk about, you know, Alabama and Auburn football, and I can make you laugh and everything is good. I love football. I love to laugh. I hate politics. I ain't going there. But y'all know my definition of politics, don't you? So those things don't bring us to see Christ. And what separates us, remember last week, we're sanctified. What sets us apart is that we're different than the world. Look, there's nothing wrong with Lions Club. It's a great organization. It is not the church. It is not the body of Christ. Rotary Club, Gardening Club, anything you want to do, those are great. But they're not the church, because they are not uniquely empowered by the Holy Spirit, in which He gives gifts to those who are part of the church. So I ask you today, do you have, a speaking gift? Are you one who has been given the words of Christ? This doesn't happen. You don't have a flip-top head. It's not open it up and God just pours it in there. Do you have a desire to read God's Word, to know Him through His Word, and to share that with other people? You know what? That's a pretty good indicator of gifting of the Spirit towards speaking. Look, this is not something to be confused with inspiration as the writers of Scripture. I'm not divinely inspired like Paul was to write, but I'm speaking with the authority and the power of God's Word about God and about His Son. This is the gifting of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. And so you see this role as those who speak. How many of us in here speaking today? How many of us gifted to speak? Good. Because James said, look, don't let a whole lot of you want to seek after teaching. It's a higher standard that's required to do that. So where does that leave everybody else? Sitting like bumps on logs, right? Nah. Because then he goes on. He says, whoever speaks is to speak as though he's speaking the utterances of God. And then he says, whoever serves is to do so as one serving by the strength which God supplies. So Peter only breaks down the spiritual gifts into two categories, those who speak and those who serve. The service within the church takes a lot of forms, looks a lot of different ways. Those who serve do so with the strength that God supplies. His source of strength never grows weary, and it recognizes that it's good. Oftentimes when somebody is serving in the body and they burn out or they grow weary, they have begun to serve in their own strength rather than in God's. You ever seen that? You ever see folks just flame out? Exhausted mentally, physically, spiritually, in every way. And we get tired. All of us get tired. But let me ask you, what is the source of your strength for your service? How are you serving the body of Christ? What is it that you yourself are doing for the good of the body? It's not for your selfish ambition. It is so that the body will be built up. When you see a need within the church, what do you do? What do you do?
Take care of it. Fix it.
Deal with it, right? Interject yourself into that situation. That's why last week in our congregational meeting, John goes, all right, we need to do some praying. I'm like, I'm in total agreement. Thank you for volunteering. Whoa, wait a minute. Is that how this is going to work? Look, it's not up to the preacher to do all of this stuff. This role here as the pastor, those who are speaking, why are they speaking? To build up the body for the work of service. To train, to teach, so that the body can do. It's not my job, I hate to say it that way, but it's not my job to do all the work around the church. I'm not a CEO. I'm a pastor. It's not your job to do the preaching. It's your job to serve. If you don't have a speaking gift, according to Peter, then you got a service role. How are you going to employ that? The purpose of speaking is to teach the body to serve. As Ephesians 4:12 says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Show of hands, how many in here want to see this body grow? How does that happen? For the work of service, to the building up of the body. When the body begins to employ the spiritual gift of service within the body, guess what? The body grows. You know what happens when other people see activity? You ever watch ants? I love to watch ants. They do crazy, incredible stuff. But we used to have ants at our house where we had some concrete, and I would go out there and drop a piece of dog food. And it was amazing, that piece of dog food in just a little bit would start moving. Now, I don't see real good, so I'd have to get my glasses out to see what was going on. But that dog food would be moving, and there'd be two or three little ants under that thing. And then the closer it got to the nest, the more ants there were on that piece of dog food. And by the time it got to the nest, it was swarmed. And I think about that, and I think about, you know what? If people in the church, just one or two, would begin to serve the body, then as they move and begin to carry that load, guess what happens? Other ants show up. Other people are encouraged to serve. And they'll then begin to help carry that load. And then as they all are doing that, other ants go, look, what's going on over there? And they come and they start to help bear that load, carry that load, and they get it back, and all of a sudden it's consumed. It's just overwhelmed because somebody saw somebody else doing some work. What are you doing in the church? What is it that God has given you to do in the church? Be faithful. Employ that. See, the work of service builds up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. We want to have unified faith. We want to be one. Everybody has to contribute. Everybody's got to be a part. You can't just sit like a bump on a log. See, we see this. We have to recognize how God works. In verse 11, we see the ultimate end of this. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Is this body of Christ employing the spiritual gifts to serve one another so that Christ is glorified? So that he receives the glory. Is that what we're doing? Or are we just going to church? See, God works in as a manifold. He distributes out to each one to take from a single source and dispense to many recipients. That source is the Spirit. He is the one who gives us the ability. He gives us strength. You get tired? Trust in Jesus. Lean into His Spirit. Lean into His Word. Be refreshed with a strength and a refreshing like you could never produce on your own. You're getting frustrated? Are you getting distracted? All of these things that cause problems within the church sometimes. All of them. James says, what's the source of all of that? Is it not your own flesh, your own heart, your own desires? And that's what happens. This week, as we begin our prayer time, our season of prayer, is self-reflection. It is looking inward to see, as the psalmist says, see if there be any unclean thing in me. To see if I have offended my brother. And I need to go and I need to be reconciled to my brother before I bring my offering to the church. To see if there's in me something that is causing a problem. It's not like Christ. It's not being conformed to His image. I'm holding on to and coddling sinful behavior. If those things exist, the church can't grow. We want to see that. So today, we're going to begin looking inside. As you pray this week, pray accordingly. Pray for this church. Pray for each other that we be of one mind to be effective as a body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this text. God, We want to serve as Jesus served. We want to be those who are walking these paths every day of our life with anticipation of, Lord, your Spirit within us, giving us opportunity to employ these gifts that you've given us. Sometimes we open our mouths and we speak. Other times we simply serve others. We give ourselves for them. God, help us to give ourselves my own fleshly desire for the sake of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.